So if you want to give a title to this today, it's called X Marks the Spot. But you see my X, it's a little different, isn't it? X Marks the Spot. Our pastor, of course, has sat in this pulpit and talked about the men's ministry many times, and he's called them X-Men. And every time he would say that, the words would come out of my mouth, and I never knew why. X Marks the Spot. And that's the title today. He's given me the word finally. And he says that because we all are X's. We have a special sign. We're X's. That's my club sign right there. We're X's. We're all X's. Do it back to me. Are you an X? I'm an X. I'm an X. I'm proud to be an X. I'm an X-sinner. I'm an X-sinner. A lot of the people in our churches are X-something or another, whether it be drug addicts, alcoholics, adulterers, liars, gossipers, prostitutes, pimps, drug dealers, ex-criminals. I don't know. I was just an ex-sinner. I could fit in a lot of categories according to the Word of God, but praise be to God for the cross of Jesus Christ. He's a treasure that we have the ability to have if we will do as he asked us to do for salvation and sanctification. So this is where this was birth. X marks the spot. What does X mean? Just the acronym X. It means you're free from. I know you guys are sitting there going, I'm free from her, I'm free from him. And that may be so in some areas. Free from a lot of things. But I'm talking spiritual today. Let's keep it in the spiritual realm. But it means that you are free from. Many of us are exes of one thing or another. When we came to Jesus, we had our sins forgiven. Our sin forgiven. And we should have walked away from all that we were before him. We talked about a few of those things, didn't we? But the process, or should I say this being saved, and you can find that in the scripture, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is the power of God. And that's the power that gives you the ability to be an X. To save, to deliver us, to protect us. X being saved means to deliver or protect. It's a literal, physically, figuratively. It also means to heal, to preserve, to save, to do well, to be made whole. The King James use of saved means to save, to make whole, to heal, or be whole. That is what the sanctification process is. We are being made whole. We are being made more Christ-like. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. So I have been forgiven and I have been cleansed. But you know what? I like to say there are rooms in my life that the Holy Spirit leads me to and flips the light on every so often. He's like, okay, we need to deal with this today. Okay. And then when we go through that process, and sometimes it's a quick process with me, and sometimes it comes around again. Then he moves on to the next room in my life, and he flips this light on. He said, okay, today we're walking through here, and we're cleaning this up. Sanctification is a process. You are holy. You have been cleansed. You have been made right and righteous with Jesus, but you still have this old self and mindset in here that's trying to live life like it was, like you were. But behold, all things are new. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 3 says, you're new and you're going through a process. This is my wordings, of course. And he says, but what you ain't there yet with, God's going to show you. He's going to help you get through it. And that was just my own wording. But we are to study the Word of God. We are to study the life of Jesus, the death and resurrection of Jesus, our Savior, and be led and guided by the Holy Spirit into all truth. Well, what's the truth? It's the Word of God. The Word was, he became flesh among us, and he dwelt on us. The Word of God was with God, he was God, and then he became Jesus and dwelt among us and lived among us. When we submit and obey, we are continually being renewed in our minds and then being sanctified, or as it says, set apart or declared holy, consecrated for his work. It's a process. So the Christian that prayed the prayer last night ain't gonna look like the Christian that walked this walk for 10 years or 5 years or a year. They should be a difference. But are you willing to be an X? Sometimes we're not willing to be the X. We want to hang on to the past. Paul said, let go of what's behind you and press toward something better, the mark, the call of the high calling of God. There are many people in the Bible that are exes. Do you notice that? They all come from somewhere, had some kind of past, something that they did or didn't do. Let's just think of a few. Moses was the first one that came to my mind. He was a Jew raised by the Gentile, by the Pharaoh. He was an ex-grandson of Pharaoh. Why was he an ex? Because he murdered a man trying to defend his Jewish brother. Right idea, wrong way to do it. Right? What he did, he fled. He ran away. No longer in the house of Pharaoh. But he had an ex moment. Do you remember the ex moment on the mountain? The burning bush, God sends him back. Go back. That's the X moment. That was his X moment. X moment. We all have them. I'm sure you're sitting there now thinking about a few of yours, right? I could. Rahab, the harlot. She was an ex-harlot. She was in Jericho. They were coming to take Jericho over, but she gave a favor and saved the spies. And in return, her life and all that was in her household was saved when they came back to destroy the city. She married into the lineage of Jesus. She is actually named in the lineage of Jesus in the New Testament. Wow. Did you think your ex moment could take you that far? It can. Maybe not in the lineage of Jesus, but it can take you far. Ruth is another one, ex-Moabite, ex-unredeemed. Lost her husband, lost her father-in-law, then her husband, brother-in-law. It was just her and the girls there now. Naomi and the two daughter-in-laws. Naomi says, I'm going back. And she tries to send him away, but Ruth, she wouldn't allow it. She said, no, I'm going to go with you, and your people are going to be my people. She's no longer a Moabite now. She had an ex moment. She come back and she supported Naomi by doing what poor people do. They would go through the fields and gather what the reapers had left to feed their family. But she caught the eye of Boaz because she was an honorable woman. She wasn't like the other ones out there doing the things that they shouldn't be doing, trying to make a name for themselves. She was simply trying to take care of her family, which was just Naomi at that time. That's all she had left. She didn't abandon her. And Naomi, well, Naomi's a whole other story. You know, she changed her name. She's like, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. Just call me Mara. I'm a woman of great sorrow. Woman of great sorrow. He has dealt bitterly with me. But Naomi had the wisdom, gathered herself at the time, despite being desperate and despaired and hopeless and depressed in our days, we'd call her. She led Ruth to Boaz and taught her how to be redeemed by him as a covenant, as a kinsman redeemer. So Ruth became redeemed through Boaz. Naomi in Ruth 1, she was a person that had no hope. I like the verse that says that she basically told the two girls, says, I have no hope to give you. I can't even bear you bear a son now that you can wait and marry. What? There's no hope in me. But now Naomi has hope through Ruth. And you know what? Ruth gave birth to Obed, which was Jesse's father, which was King David's great grandfather. Everybody's an ex in one way or the other, aren't they? Esther is another good one. Esther was an orphan, being raised by an uncle. So they say, taken to the king to be in his harem. Now, for my day and age, I don't like that idea. I wouldn't give up my daughter for even that. No. Mm-mm. But that's what they did back then. But she was orphaned. She was taken at her, maybe against her own will, to be in this harem for this king. And there she was in a situation she couldn't control and couldn't do anything with. But God had a plan for her. He had a plan for her. Now, did it come at easy cost? No, it didn't. But she chose to be an ex in every situation. She chose to, with a little persuasion, maybe God has put you in that place for just a time as this. She was fearful because she knew that going to the king and asking without being summoned would cost her her life on the spot, on the spot. But the king had favor in his heart for her. He'd made her queen. And he extended the scepter to her. And she was no longer a woman of fear. But she was a brave woman. She was an excellent moment at that time. And she walked into the court and spit out the plan that she had to save her people. And through her, all of Israel was saved. What an ex moment that was. Isn't that awesome? Do you think that you're... One time being obedient to God and choosing him over the whatever situation it is could make such a great impact? Well, it can. It can. It can make an impact in your life, in your children's life, in your family's life, and everyone that you're attached to because you chose to be an ex of something, to be free from something. Isn't that wonderful? The disciples, they're all exes too, aren't they? Fishermen. That was not an honorable position to have in the day. But all of them, they were usually pretty rough and rugged men, and their language was not appropriate, and they lived a certain type of way. But God chose every one of them. He did. Jesus went through there and chose every one of them. I like to talk about Mary. Do y'all know Mary? Mary Magdalene? Woman that was possessed with devils? Do you know what she did? She was a woman, first of all. She was possessed by devils. But Mary was worth something in God's eyes. Mary was the first one to preach the good news of the gospel. God redeemed her. Jesus redeemed her on that spot. The woman who was an ex, filled with all the demons, second-class citizen, was worthless according to the times of that day, a woman was. Didn't have a voice to even talk to. Jesus said, go tell my disciples and Peter the good news. She got to preach the gospel first. First. To the disciples, nonetheless. The men of God that had been with him for all these years. An ex-demon-possessed woman. Become the most important, pivotal time person of that moment and at this time for us as well in the Bible to go and tell the disciples the good news. Being an ex is pretty awesome, isn't it? Kind of makes you think you got a little superpower there, right? And you do in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Not what you see on TV. But I love it. Paul is another ex. Paul was a persecutor of the church. He stood and held the coats of those that stoned the first martyr, Stephen, for the gospel. That means he consented to it. He participated in their decision. Isn't that awesome? But Paul, met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He had an next moment too. when God brings these things to you, do you not understand that you can change? You can be whatever He's called you to be, and He knows what's in you. And the opportunity is yours to be the X. I want to be free from this, Lord. I want to do your will. And my favorite X is Peter. Peter is my favorite X. I identify a lot with Peter, unfortunately. Peter, who was Jesus his whole ministry, the whole time he was there. Peter had seen him do miracles, watched him raise the dead, heal the deaf, give sight to the blind. Peter had even walked on the water with him till fear hit him. Doesn't that sound like any of us? But anyways, Peter had done all these great things, and he'd been by his side the whole time. Peter was the one who said, Lord, you know, when he started talking about his death, he rebuked Jesus. Jesus looks at him and said, get behind me, Satan. Because he knew Satan had taken over and was talking through Peter. But he loved Peter. Peter was one of the three on the Mount of Transfiguration. He got to see that glorious sight and the prophets be there. But what did Peter do? He denied the Savior three times. Oh, do you think that you've done anything worse? As a child of God, we have to choose every day to be an X of whatever it is. When God, the Holy Spirit goes in, flips that light on, like I say, says, look, we're dealing with this today. I'm like, oh, I don't think I can do it. My pride's in the way. My flesh is in the way. Oh, God, I have to choose to be an X too, every day, sometimes more than once a day. People be trying me, you know how it is. But here's Peter. He had walked with Jesus for all this time. And Jesus even told him, said, look, Satan has come to sift you like sand, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail you not. And when you come back, strengthen the brothers. He knew what was going to happen. It's no surprise to him. What he's leading you to, he knows you can overcome. Did you hear that? And when you come back, strengthen the brothers. He knows the end from the very beginning. It's no surprise to him. I don't know why it surprises us that we think he's surprised, but it's not. He knows the outcome. He knows how to make it happen. But I love it. Peter had been through everything. Do you remember he's standing in the garden and he's sleeping, and then the servant, they come to take him. He pulls somebody's sword and cuts off an ear. Peter, you know, as a man after my own heart right there, let's just take him right now. Just give me a sword. Let's just do it. And Jesus rebukes him and says, no, put it away. You live by it, you're going to die by it. That's a word right there. Peter had to become an X, but he had to hit the bottom to see it, to live it. Most of us do, because we don't listen the first time, do we? When the light goes on, we're like, what's that over in the corner? I don't see anything, Lord. I don't know. What are you talking about? I have plenty of reasons why it's there. I do. I really do. I have a reason for all of it being there. But he goes, but it doesn't need to be there anymore. Let's heal this area. Let's clean it up. Let's get sanctified. Because I have work for you to do. Peter denied him bitterly three times. He was angry. The Bible said he cursed, which was not a curse like cursing words. He may have done that too, but he took a curse upon himself. And in Mark, I think it says, if I know him, let what is happening to him be done to me too. That's cursing yourself. There's a whole study behind that. It's awesome. But he saw him at that very moment after the rooster crowed. He looked up and the eyes met. He was that close to Jesus. He was inside, close to where the trial was happening. And it said he ran out weeping bitterly. But he had an X moment to. A redemption moment. Jesus showed himself to them after he sent Mary. He showed himself to the disciples two times. Two times. He said, my disciples and Peter, bring him back. And on the third time, if you go to John 21, we're going to read through some of the verses here. Peter, I'm sure, was feeling really great about himself at this point because he'd known what he'd done. And if you look at 21 and 3, it says, Simon Peter said unto them, meaning the disciples, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we will go with you. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. They fished all night. Do you see what Peter did? He went back to what he was. What he was called away from. It happens. It happens to the best of us. But we can't stay there. We can't stay there. We've got to choose to be an X. So Jesus comes. He shows up in the morning. He's standing on the shore. And the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. This is verse 5. Then Jesus said unto them, children, children, have you any meat? I think a few of us are standing here today. And he's calling, child of mine, are you done yet? Are you ready to come back and let me feed you? Let me bless you. Let me grow you and make you stronger so that we have work to do in my name. We can do it together. And they told him, of course, no. He says, cast your nets on the right side of the ship. That's verse 6. And when they did that, they drew out a multitude of fish. But I love this part here, verse 7 of 21, John 21. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Took him that long to figure it out. Now, when Simon Peter heard this, that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. Did you notice the difference in position? This is the man that walked on the water. And now he's diving into the water. Oh, how the Satan will drag you back if you allow him to. But you have a choice to be an X today. Let's read on. And it says, the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. And as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire and coals there, and fish laid there upon, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. And Simon Peter went up, and he drew the net to land full of great fish, 150 and 150 and 3, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broke. Peter's trying to show that he's of worth now. We do that, don't we? We catch ourselves up in something, and we're like, oh, but God, I can do this. I can do that for you. And all the while, we're still caught up in what we used to be. And he's calling you to be an X. He's calling you forth to set you free from it all. I love what Jesus says in verse 12. It says, Jesus said unto them, come and dine. You can't bring anything to this party because I have everything you need already. Just come in and eat. Come in and eat. All he wants for you to be an X is to agree with him. Give it up and take what he's going to give you, which is the cross, salvation, forgiveness, love, a love that never ends, salvation that will take me to be with him one day, peace and joy and love through this whole life, everything that is good. He has everything good for you. He says, come and dine. None of the disciples asked him who you are because they knew it was the Lord. And Jesus then cometh and take bread and give it to them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. And so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Do you know what Jesus was doing? When you curse yourself, you have to go to the one that you cursed. He cursed Jesus. He said pretty much he denied him. I don't know you. And he cursed himself in that way that he said, whatever happens to him, if I knew him, then let it happen to me. You have to go to that person and they have to forgive you three times. Simon, do you love me? Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Simon, do you love me? Feed my sheep, Simon. He kept saying, yes, Lord, I love you. You know I love you. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he knew what God was doing. He was setting him right in front of him, in front of all those that he would be in mission with. No one could say anything. They all knew the rules. They all knew that he was being restored back to being a disciple of Jesus. Simon, do you love me? Today he wants to know, do you love me? Am I more important than what you were? I think it's great that this example is in there because it shows me, as a child of God, sometimes I can lose my way. I can lose my way sometimes. But he's forever telling me, come and eat. Come and dine with me. Choose me over what you were. Choose me because I have something better for you. Where you're going is only going to lead to the grave. It leads to nothing good. The right side. Go to the right side. So for Peter, this was the X moment for him. When he jumped out of the boat and he ran to him. The man that had walked on the water. The man that had seen the blind see. Man who had seen the multitude of fishes and loaves from just a few to feed thousands. The man had seen the empty tomb, but heard Mary, a woman, a demon-possessed ex-woman, ex-demon-possessed woman, tell him that he was there. The one had seen him twice before and said nothing. But Jesus came and flipped the light on that day and said, do you love me? Do you love me? I'm restoring you back. Do you know why it was so important? Who preached in Acts 2 the first message after the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism fell? Peter. Thousands were converted that day. He knew. Jesus knew that he's coming to sift him like sand, the enemy was. So he needed to get him back to where he was so that he could be an ex for you and I. That was his ex moment. Choosing to be what God knew he could be. The light of the world for all to see. For us to even teach about today, thousands of years later. A child of God who glorifies him by denying himself, putting his pride away, putting away all of himself, all the desires of the flesh, denying, picking up the cross and following him. Peter was put to death on the cross. He was crucified, but he refused to be crucified like Jesus, according to historians. So he was crucified upside down because he said, I am not worthy to even die like he did. I will die upside down. On the cross. Paul said it this way. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 3 and 14. If you look up that word mark, to me, that says that you're at the right place at the right time. so that whatever God is doing in your life can be seen and heard by the others as a witness and a testimony to Him. When you're an actor, they have marks on the floor. And you, when you're to deliver your line, you're to stand on that mark. That way people can hear and see what is being done. It's the same way. Pressing toward the mark to be an X. Isn't that awesome? The X, the mark on the floor, is a moment in time. It's a decision that you make right then and there. Am I going to trust you? Am I going to trust you? Am I going to be what you call me to be? Am I going to go through this valley, over this hill, to get to where you want me to be? I know, Father, I have to give up this. I have to give up these and that and this place and that person and this thing. And I have to put my emotions and my feelings behind me because they're temporal. But your peace, your joy, your love, your wisdom is more than mine. It's more than mine. So I'm going to trust you. I'm going to be an X. I'm going to join the club. I'm going to be an X for Jesus. Growing up, when I was little, we read stories about the pirates, and I enjoy those pirates and mermaids and all that fantasy stuff. But, you know, they always had an X where their treasure was buried, right? So that when they came back, they would know where it was. That way no one could steal it from them. So it reminds me of Matthew 13 and 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. I know that means Jesus came, and we were a valuable treasure to him, and that he gave his life. He died for us, rose again, so that we could be purchased as a valuable treasure to his Father. But today, to me, X marks the spot. My X moment is a treasure. And I'm giving him all that I am, which is not much, for all that he has for me. What a treasure it is when you have your X moment to give it all to him and say, "Here you are, Lord. I know it's not worth nothing. It's just earthly stuff. It's just my emotions, my feeling, my pride. All that stuff I don't need. I just need you." X marks the spot. Jesus no longer has to hang on the cross. It's done. It's over with. But he's asking you, Ephesians 4, 22 and 24 says, that you put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It's an X moment. When you make that choice, yeah, I'm new, I'm saved, but I have this thought, these minds, my daughter calls it intrusive thoughts. They come in, they remind me what I did, they make me have the urge to do what I used to do, but I remember, oh, I am a new creation now. And through the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells with me, I am no longer a slave to that again. I don't care if it's gossip, anger, bitter. I don't care if it's fear. I don't care what you were before. You no longer have to be that person again. X marks the spot. Today, will you, in this moment, in this mark moment, it's a mark moment, it's set, choose to be an X? Will you choose to be an X today if you don't know Jesus? And you're tired of life doing what it does day after day. and you can't see light at the end of the tunnel, and you're still getting the same results that you got 5 years ago, and you don't understand why, is because the enemy has control, and you are a slave. You are in bondage to him. But Jesus says, X marks the spot. Choose to be an X. Let me show you a better way. Let me show you a life, abundant life, and more abundantly. Life more abundantly. That's scripture. I come to give you my peace, my joy. I come to give you life and life more abundantly. Is there one here today that doesn't know the Savior? Today is the day, and X marks the spot. Come, please. Come, please. He's not coming to you empty-handed. He has righteousness to give you. He has joy. He has peace. He has a love that you can't get rid of. Is there one today that doesn't know Jesus? The sermon was short today, but it was what God gave me to give. Anyone here that doesn't know Jesus, come on down. We'll pray for you, pray with you. Is there anyone else? Saints, if you will pray while we're praying, I would appreciate it.
I am free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. No longer bound. No more chains holding me. My soul is resting. It's just a blessing. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, I'm free.